because I am a Georgian. I love Georgia. And as a young child, I did go to a small school out in the rural area of Philadelphia. But it was a rural place called HUFFER, Huffer, Georgia. It's a rural place out a 6 mile from the town seat. And I'm the oldest of ten children. And that was an exciting time of my life because I have always loved my hometown. And it was segregated. The blacks went to a school. It was a church where we had to go in. It was a church, you know, on Sundays or in this time that they had at the church. But it was school Monday through Friday. And this was a small church. All sixth grade or seventh classes was only one teacher.
How are your parents involved with your childhood and experience of life?
My life. I had more of a parent. They were sharecroppers, hard-working people. It was 10 of us. And I'm the oldest of 10. And I love remembering my hometown. I love going back there even today because my parent was so wonderful. They were a legend for us. That legend is we love each other even now. You would think we were girls and boys because that's how we were raised. They worked very hard. They were the sharecroppers. They worked in the field. And you may not know what those pine trees, you ever go to Georgia, see a pine tree. There's a special gum, that something that comes from the tree that he had to work in that area. And it was very hard work, but he did it because he wanted us to go on and have a better life than they did.
How was schooling for you?
It was exciting. Mainly because we, in this little school, first of all, we all went to. It was like a family-friendly place that we went to school. And in the later years, because he was on the road, we had to use to study. Though they were not educated, I think Mom went to the sixth grade and Dad was fifth grade. But we had to do our homework. We had to do this, and they were right there with us. I'm talking about a family of 10, two adults in this family. We had to get our homework, there was no discussion. And it was instilled in me being the oldest child, me to do the oldest. Because I could use my name, Rita, but I had a pet name. It was Rita with them. And I had to be the best because I had sisters and brothers who wanted to follow me. And they had it instilled in me that if I did well, my sisters and brothers did well. And I believed that. And I did the best I could that I had. Now the books, I didn't know they were that way until later years. And when I was reading, I know it was Harriet Tubman or someone in the book I happened to find. And maybe it was a book about Indians. I was reading this book and a page was missing. That kind of bothered me. But nothing was said. Nobody said nothing about it. And that was my elementary year. Now, for me to go to high school, that was a big thing. Because the high school where I had to go to was 6 miles away. Maybe more than that. So I had to, my parents had to pay board for me to live, room and board for them to live with other members. You want to know how much it was? $1 a week for me to give me something with them. I had my own room for the first time. I was sleeping in the bed alone, living over with the families or friends that, you know, had room for young people coming and going to high school.
Were you ever married and did you ever have kids?
Yes. In fact, I married my high school sweetheart. We started dating. I've been married 51 years. We dated through high school. We dated, remember, through high school. And we were right there. And I love to think of that over the years. Because there's one rule I broke with my dad. He told me, you don't date those city boys. They had a thing about the country girls dating the city boys. And guess who I married? A city boy. But this city boy took good care of me. When I said take good care of me, you didn't. Well, girls and boys, just you didn't fondle each other, no way, right? That was a no-no. But he respected my dad and my mom. It was a regulation. Yes, we dated. He came out to see me once a week. Had to be gone 9 o'clock, not on the way out the door. Those fun years. But now, when I was over town, in school, in high school, away from mom and dad's house, we went to movies, we did things together. Me all the time. From, you wouldn't believe it, I have been with this fella since I was 15, I think it was 15 years old. I was trying to get him to come, but he didn't. He always tells everybody he was sending me the secretary. We've been together that long. Yeah. I don't think I brought my diploma with me, but he was back then.
How did great men like Martin Luther King influence or motivate your community?
Other men? I can't think right this minute of another person, well educated person. You won't believe my grandparent, me and my family was great influence upon me. I have 7 sisters and 3 brothers. We looked up to the elder person in our community, educated and uneducated, because we believed in having wisdom. And a person of their age, they were not educated, but they were men of wisdom. They protected our community, and that left a great impact on us, because a lot of girls were not really blessed with a father or male image all the time. But my dad's father was in our lives, my mom's father was in our lives, and they really helped our parents to teach us morals. And we believe what they taught us. You might not believe it. It was my mom's dad taught us really how to pray. Because Grandpa Will White. Grandpa would teach us when we were around, and he always loved us with such affection. We were so important. We wouldn't believe it was about 20 grand at that time. Everybody he would touch. He knew all of us. And I was his 6th child, oldest child. And that's what I remember about him. My dad's father, he was the one to clean church for me to really remember what it really meant to have that father. But my dad was a young man. He didn't go to church as much. But Grandpa Norman, he took all his grandchildren, about at that time, my 12 of us, more or less. And he's the one taught us. You may have heard of the Lord's Prayer and teaching about the commandments of the Bible. And when he taught us that, the first one I remember and learned, honor your father and your mother, that your day be long upon the land of the Lord thy God. That's my scripture. From that time, because I did believe in honor elders. And that's because my grandfather, Grandpa Norman, he the one taught us, and I was very young, like 6 years old or younger. But he left an impact in my life.
Could you name some of the struggles or experiences that you and your family went through during that time?
My dad did a good job of protecting us from the pain of those issues. I don't really recall having direct impact from it. Because when I was young, and like I said, he the parent, we didn't have a security guard, but I could almost feel there was some men coming occasionally to check on us, the school. And we were living in this area out in Huffer. And the farm that the people in the children in school went to, there was Grantham, Cross, Peterson, about five different plantations out there, right? And one thing that meant so much to me when they, out of nowhere, I don't remember, but I remember them coming in one or two trucks to pick us up, the black kids, and take us to the field to work at about 12 or 1 o'clock. And my dad stood up and said, "You coming for somebody to work is not my children. My children are going to school." And he was like the icon of the leader in the community. My children going to school, and if you need anybody to work, you come get me. That made me make sure that I finish school and my sister and brother. That meant so much to me. And with those thoughts in mind, you have other questions for you? I can come about her.
The struggles that you and your family probably went through at that time.
Because of Daddy, sharpness, and you know, his belief in education, the others around them, we all went on, the majority of, about, with all the families out there, roughly 60 children, and believe it or not, one teacher had his classroom of the one that was school age. They went all at the same time. We went on to school, a lot of us. We, in spite of the time and the hardship, we didn't walk but 6 miles or more or less to school. Never missed school. Never was late to school. That was a no-no. You had to come to school. Use good tone, but whatever we had, we come with pride. Because if I do good, my family will do good.
Have you ever heard of the Hampton House?
That's the first nightclub I went to. I come from Florida. That's
what you said.
I was in the country right on out of Huffer, now the high school. Now, what you gonna, when I, this is fun, I have to tell to the young lady. When I graduated from high school, that was a big celebration. Elementary now, graduated from 6th grade to the 7th grade, right? And that was a big thing. The first time I had a chance to dance. That was fun. And they didn't do what we consider our kind of dance, but we did the waltz. But it was important to us because our parents were there and we knew had been going to that. And that's when my parents really, really felt like I was a college graduate. Oh, thought I was president of the United States. He was so proud of me. And I never disappointed them, the intention.
Did you attend college?
Me? I didn't go to college. I didn't graduate college. I did attend.
Where did you graduate from high school?
53. I want to make 52 or 53. 52. I'm not sure. Let me just get my diploma.
You mentioned a certain teacher that inspired you in your life. His name was Jose Williams.
Oh, Jose Williams. Now, that was high school.
Yeah.
Okay. He was later in my life because he was the one that really helped understand there was something different about how we were to look at life now, at that time. And I mentioned his name I know it was very chaotic for the blacks. And a lot of them did lose their jobs. And even with that, it was they encouraged us, you're going to school, won't be no problem. And I know we had some conflict was going on, but the most amazing thing about that period in time, all of the people in that community, Douglas, Georgia, who I was raised up, we didn't have no direct conflict. I noticed the job changing. Some people got better jobs, paying jobs. And education-wise, I saw less youth books and started seeing youth books. That was encouraging to me. And one that was really big for me, because I don't remember it. This must have been when I was in 10th grade. I don't recall exactly. When our team go to games and what have you, we didn't caravan. We were able to get a bus. That was exciting to us.
Where did you move to Florida and why? What year did you move to Florida?
I had gotten married, and you know when I got married in 53, I think it was, the dates are not good right now, I may have to give you new dates, the right dates for the later. But we got married May 17th, 1950. I've been married 51 years, so y'all figured out. And we got married, and my husband came to Florida. I'm getting things all right, but my husband came to Florida. And that's where the husband went, the wife went. No discussion. So that's why I got to Florida. So the day he got here, the first day he went out to get a job. That was a hard time. The first day on the job, he fell and broke his hip. That's what brought me to Florida. So I now have my dates almost right. Because that's the year I had my first baby. It was 54. I didn't know what it was, and I was a 19, about 20 and 21 years old with a new baby in a new city, in a big city, coming from the country to a small town to this. That was rough for us, but rewarding. That was very hard for me to make that change because notice I said my parents were sharecroppers. We had a big farmhouse in New York. My mother-in-law had her own home. Beautiful thing. Out of the yellowish canary look. Beautiful. You see the yellow one. She had a beautiful home. Right by the railroad track. I think I have a little picture of it. Of her. It was so beautiful, a beautiful place. Then to come to Miami, Florida, to one room, it had not been our love relationship. I think I would have left and went back the same night. I mean, my baby was only a month old. 6 weeks, no, he was 6 weeks old. But we made it.
Tell you about any stories he had with Martin Luther King?
No. had a chance to talk to class, thing, or the school, but I had to work to go to school. So I might have missed a lot of speech. I also feel that because I can remember how he was a very strong person speaking, he was very, he was really involved in this movement. And I don't forget, I asked the principal at that time, what is the civil rights movement? I didn't get a doubt at that time. But I realized that was the early part of it. And it was like, I guess, hush-hush for a while. But Mr. Williams was the outspoken person. He was the one that he was trying to get the word out and let us know there have to be changes, had to be changes. And being young, I didn't know what to mean changes. What changes? Because once you get used to a certain little something, you don't notice, or I didn't notice, what was to be changed. But it followed, I don't remember, I don't want to say it exactly, but I do remember the chaos, the hush-hush, the talk. They would go together, because adults didn't talk everything out in front of them. They did not. If they had a problem, they did not talk it with the children until they buffered out, cleaned out all the stuff that we weren't supposed to know, then they would bring to us. Now, after not too many years, I don't remember the year again, but I did have a cousin out there on the plantation, had a cross burned in the yard. That happened. He was our cousin, but we called him Mr. Henderson Spates, on the cross's farm. He lived on that farm. And a cross was burned in his yard somewhere along the way, and I don't have the dates. Now, let's go back to my end. I just wanted to put that in there so you put it. It did happen. That happened. Now, you were asking me about Jose again. Because I was just coming out of high school, I think that I missed really the impact of what William was really trying to do. And a year or two after that, I think he went on to another school, but that was my last year of school, and that was really going on.
When you were here down in Miami, did you attend rallies?
No. Maybe? I didn't go to no rallies. I did go to Greater Bethel, AME Church, when Martin Luther King and those were there. I had a cousin more into politics than I was. I was very happy. I did go over to Greater Bethel, AME Church, and I did hear them speak. And I only can remember her telling me it was Martin Luther King. I don't remember Jose Williams here at that time. I'm sure he was. And the doctor here that was active. I don't remember, but it was back in the all of them. Yeah, that's
Gibson's
what I said.
Family from Florida.
Yes. It was a lot of, it was, if you've ever been to Greater Bethel, it's one of the historical churches here. And I was sitting near the back, so you can imagine what it must have been like there. I didn't really, really see them, but I was there. I couldn't be up front, because whatever reason, you know, it was so real.
Georgia, or even here down in Miami. Did your parents ever get involved in any altercations with the KKK?
There's nothing else I could have done. I would never talk about anything. But I believe they had protected us from a lot of things. But I didn't know anything about the KKK back home. Not at all. This was after I had left.
Did you have any white friends?
Oh, yeah. No. part about that, I laugh about that now because we had to do something where we called put up tobacco. I don't know if you ever been to the farm, you had the tobacco barn and you had to do work. They worked on one end and we worked black, the whites on one end and the blacks on the other end. I don't know why, but we did it. And I laugh about that sometimes today. We never ate at the same table at the same, we ate from the same table, but never at the same time. Now, I have some sisters. I wish you could have talked to some of them. You've got a different picture of me. Because they are younger than I am. They probably have a different picture. But that was the way of life. We ate the same food they did, but we had to eat over there. They ate over here, wherever, you know. Mary Elizabeth Hotel, if I'm not mistaken, that's the name of it. I went there. Yeah, I could dance.
What was the name?
Mary Elizabeth.
Mary Elizabeth.
Yes, yeah, I think that was the name of it. And Clyde Killing, you know, you might have heard about him. He was one of the, I call him damn guy. I don't know what y'all call it now. He was the person that ran this nightclub. I've never seen him drunk, but in his club, he always had this glass walking around. Everybody was Clyde. That I remember about the nightclub. That guy said he married us in New York. There was another place that was very popular. At that time, we didn't have black area, 3rd Avenue and 2nd Avenue. Like I said, I had never really been in a nightclub. Meredith was excited. That was for the, you know, hip-hop. And the other place, the first time I went to this place, it was such a tiny little place, but you wouldn't believe. We were all there, nobody, no one fighting. It kind of hurt you. We were like a family. And I'm thinking of the Mortar Theater. I think it now is another theater that still on 2nd Avenue. They made that like a, what is the sightseeing place or something?
Lyric.
Yes, Lyric. That's the one. Lyric. That's the Lyric I'm talking about. We all went, I think back in the 50s when I first came down, I was first in Florida. We did have, we had three. Martin. The Morning Theater, one on 13th Street. There was one on 10th Avenue, and there was another on 2nd Avenue. I forgot what it was. But those with where we went black. Oh, let me go back to
from Overtown to where?
But I must share this nightclub we went to, what I was right there.
The Mary Elizabeth.
The Elizabeth. We had the opportunity to meet a lot of celebrities there. When they finished their work over on the beach where they had to work, they were sure. We had a chance to see a lot of celebrities over there. And before we know it, not only black, white, and other races. Did you ever go there? No. It was a fun day.
Did you ever move from Old Town?
Oh, yes.
Where did you go?
I moved to Atlanta, the first place. Now I'm getting home.
I lived there.
Where are you? involved in a protest? So,
never involved in directly. Just that incident. And I don't remember exactly where it was that I was even coming. What was the name of this restaurant that we used to go to eat? Red Lobster. Oh, Red Lobster. I think there was out on 36th Street. And we going our way back home, got right to the corner of 36th Street, 12th Avenue. That's when I knew it was a riot going on. There was a fair skin. Notice I didn't see it was quiet. I don't know. Just a fair skin. Going east, and we were going east, but we turned on 12th Avenue, and I don't know where somebody threw a bar in there. When I thought I had never, it didn't have no impact on me until that moment. And I didn't know what had happened already in the community because, believe it or not, I'm not very much of a politician person, whatever you call it. I wait for my husband to listen to the news and let me know what's happening. That's sad, but I'm telling the truth.
Gypsy Church, what was it like?
Going to church here? Home?
Here.
He went to church. That was no, you know, debate.
How was it like?
Oh, heavenly. Because I did not really, no, I was, what I said, I've always been in the church all my life. My mother-in-law told us that when we were leaving home, you know, my husband and I were getting ready to come to Georgia. I had the baby. He came to get a job. He came down to get his job. When he got the job, then sent for the family. But he didn't get a chance to send for. My mother-in-law re-emphasized, whatever you do, the first thing you do, join the church. I joined Greater Bethlehem Church. Coming from a small church to this great big church, it was more than enough for me. I just couldn't see that many people. But I've always, my family, all of us are members of this church. I belong to St. Paul in the church in Miami. I am a minister. I don't tell it all the time, but I think it's the right time now. I am a minister. All of them have to go to church. They don't have to go with Grandmama Rita. That's who I am. I'm Grandmama Rita. I try to give them some family tradition just like we had. But now that I know being a member of a church is not a tradition, that is your roadmap. And they all, even the little baby did it. You've got to go to church. You must be born again. You must go to the Bible study. You must go to Sunday school. They are beginning to love it. Because that's what Grandmama Rita and Granddaddy did. You asked me my husband's name. His name is Donald Gunder. was a lot. I can't remember little Nancy. She's much younger than I am. But I didn't go nightclubbing that often, but one time.
How was the media involved with segregation or integration in those times?
That's when I really realized that this was a media thing. And to me, I was never a person into politics too much. I was one of those people, believe it or not, I prayed for them. I never liked to be around where the riot was going on. I have never been. I wish you had gotten my sister. I don't think she missed any of them. I'm not a political person in that way, following all of these things. I want to know just enough how to pray for them. And that's what I have done. I have really prayed for the politicians. Among them, I don't know their name, but I remember Father Gibson, that traumatic moment with him. And others, I can't remember their name, but I had to learn to be intercessor. I just couldn't get out of the crowd. I have never gone to a, they have walked, that wasn't me. Dunbar further street, right?
Are you talking about St. Mary's?
Huh?
St. Mary's?
St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm. It's a Catholic yes. School right there.
Fifth Street.
Francis Xavier.
Yeah.
There you are. St. Francis Xavier. I think that's where they went to elementary. They went for kindergarten or whatever. We sent them, the first three went there for their first experience in school. But then when you went to elementary school, what name of school I said? It was public school. By this time I had two or six kids and I couldn't afford that. So I put it in public school over there. I think it's good to speak to the
English.
Okay. What else?
Was that an all black school at
all
that time?
Oh, definitely. Oh, man, all black. And I was a choice. I guess maybe because from the country, we didn't have this comfortable seat to sit on. We had to sit on the beaches, you know. And me and my kids had a desk, and they were able to sit there and learn. It was exciting for me. And I was at that time becoming involved in PSA and what have you, but I didn't know that they were going to school with people. I remember sort of the name when somebody called them out of right about them. I didn't know. But my kids didn't even contact them. Something else I wanted to tell them.
Any friends or family members who were killed by the KKK? Or
not. Home when the person was sick, guess who had to fan them? We didn't have a thing. We fanned and took care of the elder, especially it was special to us. The elder person in that family, in that area, everybody respected them, loved them. Well, when I came to Florida and had to get a job, my husband got hurt, I was working in people's house. I didn't like doing it. But that day, this particular day, like, wham, like I was slapped in the face. I got into a house to work. Guess what she wanted me to do? Wash a window. I said, I don't wash my own window. I said, went home, told Doc, you sending me to school? No, I'm going. No, I'm going to school. You're going to send me. Not you, my husband. And that's how I did take some classes for REN. But by this time, I had all of these children, and it was hard for me to get to school. But I have sisters that are, one of the youngest sisters down here, she's a teacher over there, my name's Beach. I don't forget the name of the school. I have a brother that's a school teacher. Two brothers that I think you remember, my oldest brother. Wouldn't believe he was out in the country. I'm gonna be a truck driver. That's where he became a truck driver. He felt that he could do that. Because he achieved something dad and mama proud of. Hollis, the other brother, he went on and went up north and got a good job. And my next older sister, me, she become, you know, you ever heard of heart pacemaker?
Mm-hmm.
She worked with Cordis. And she excelled in that. She was there for me at the Cordis Company. I can say I had a brother, a teacher. Mm-hmm. These country folk now, back out young. Joe, Irene, Marbara, they were all great college graduates. Seemed like a couple more, but I didn't graduate college, but I didn't take a trip. My parents thought I was coordinator of the state of Florida, and I'd become the LT. I have been doing that since 63. I still work. 2 days a week. That was the most traumatic day. Like, every time I remember that, I was on getting on the jitney on 13th Street and Fifth Avenue over there. And it seemed like the whole city went quiet. I get chills when I think about it now. We were on the jitney. And even then, they didn't want to talk about it. But it came on the air. All my family and others was really trying to do to help us to have a better life. It was sad. And I had a chance to call the farmhouse where my mom worked. That's one thing. She was more into that I was. And I don't think she knew because she must have felt that we weren't going to get opportunities. I've never liked politics. From that, seems like I'm trying. I wouldn't believe it. Even now, I'm trying to get into politics because I can see a lot of good. Yeah, I want my grandkids to do it. Yeah. But I want them to tell me about it. No, I don't want to experience it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I said.
Really great job. You have, because Destiny, I think, is very political.
She is.
Yes.
Love her grandmama Rita talk about the old days.
Yes. So see, you've achieved that. You kids, I'm going to allow to go to lunch.